All right. And we're back. Welcome back to A Businessman's Guide to Almost Everything, the show where I, your host, Cole Brzezinski, get to sit down with interesting people from interesting fields, and we get to pick apart how they work, what makes them tick, and the people behind them. So today with me, I'm sitting with Nadia. Nadia, can you introduce yourself, what you do, and where you're from?
Hi, I'm Nadia Bulos. I am a freelance web designer at Reset Web Design. And I basically work with local businesses, small businesses, to optimize their online presence, deliver a aesthetically pleasing website that also converts.
All right. So today, I wanted to break down you. Learn a little bit about you, what makes you tick, and your story. So tell me, you know, take as long as you want, really, but how did you get into web design?
It's a funny story, actually. I did work in marketing as a marketing manager with a company in town. And then I took a little break and then I wanted to get back into marketing and I wanted to just do something else. And my sister at the time asked me to design a website for her in WordPress for her artist website. And I gladly obliged and I took it on. And I just, the more I worked on it, the more I realized that this is something that's really fun to do. And I actually enjoyed the process. And I wanted to learn more about WordPress. And so that's when helped me get into more, just getting more educated about it. And I got my certification in WordPress after that. And then I started to take on different websites, just volunteering and, with my brothers-in-law, with friends and stuff like that. And just to get kind of experience and practice. And the more I learned, the more I wanted to learn. And that kind of evolved into me having my own business.
All right. And so how long have you been in business?
I would say 5 years.
5 years. And yes. So 5 years ago, you took on your sister's website?
6 years ago, I did. So I didn't start charging right away. At first, it was just I would kind of volunteer to take it for free and just to kind of practice and build my portfolio. And then when I started charging would be 5 years ago.
All right. Yeah. And how's business been then?
It's been good. It's a steady climb. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say I took some time last year to invest in more networking and that has paid off exponentially because not only have I met new clients, but I also met third party providers that I can refer my clients to if they need extra services. And so it's been very helpful to have that, especially here in Bellingham.
All right. So not everyone starts a business. Why did you decide or what got into your head to make you think, oh, I can do this independently on my own?
Well, the thing is, I have worked in corporate. I worked in corporate for 4 years. I absolutely enjoyed it. It was a great experience. And then I did real estate for a couple of years as well.
Oh.
So I did have some sort of an experience being on my own. And in my family, we've run businesses. My husband ran businesses for a long time. So for me, it didn't feel like a huge step. And I didn't want to go back to corporate. I didn't want to, work again in the corporate setting. And so I decided to just go off on my own and try this out. So
if I could ask, when you decided to start a business, this very big stage of life, you weren't 22, were you?
No.
Can I ask how old you were?
5 years ago, I was in my 30s.
That's a good answer.
Does that work? Okay.
No, that's a great answer.
Yes.
No. So it just kind of does go to show that gain a little bit of skills.
And yes. 100%. I couldn't have done it right off out of college. No. I wanted to work with a team first, and then be part of a marketing team and see how things work internally. Mm. And then I was on my own with the real estate, but still with an office. So right. I was with the Moyat Group and it was great. Also, I had mentors. And so I didn't just jump in with no experience whatsoever. So I've tried a few things before I actually got into it.
It was a gradual climb.
100%. Yeah.
So with that first marketing corporate job, because that was probably right after university?
Yes, right after college, yeah.
So have you found that that past experience has really aided in your current web design?
100%. Because, at that point, you're still developing the skills. And I remember when I was doing all sorts of different marketing. I wasn't just doing web design for them. But I remember it came about where they wanted me to work on a website. And it just gave me resources and, to be able to learn a little bit more about it. Mm. So you can't just jump in from nothing. You right. have to, like I said, gradually get into it. Mm. Yeah.
So you move from marketing. So like, can I ask what kind of field that corporate environment was?
Yeah, it was in backup power. Power supplies, batteries.
Okay, so it's not retail, but...
No.
No.
It was more industrial, commercial.
Okay.
Business to business.
Sure, business to business. Great way to classify it. So you moved from that to a business to consumer real estate kind of field.
Yes.
So why did you make that transition?
I kind of wanted something different. I thought direct selling would be it. And as I discovered... Very quickly, it was not my wheelhouse. Mm. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed learning about it and all that. But I think it was just not something I wanted to do long term.
Mm. Yeah, it's also a really hard industry, especially Whatcom County.
Very hard. Very hard to get into and to thrive in. And there's a lot of competition, a lot more competition.
Huge competition.
And for me, the schedule was the kicker because it was weekends and evenings. And, you know, at that point I had two little kids, and I just couldn't do that.
No, of course. So then with that particular stint, have you found that you gained skills from your work as a real estate agent?
100%. I never regret anything that I've learned, any different fields that I got into, because everything is compounded interest. So it's like everything helps you gain more perspective on what you like to do, what you don't want to do, the things that you've learned, the people that you meet. I still have, and that's why my networking social circle is pretty big, is because I have been in different industries and I know different people from different parts of town because of that. And so it really helps. It's never a loss. It's always a gain for me.
So when you took on your sister's website project, were you still practicing as a realtor?
No, at that point I wasn't. Mm. I was just trying to get back into marketing because I realized that I did not want to do direct selling anymore. I wanted to get into more something creative.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So let's talk about that a little bit more. Because you, in our last episode, you talked a little bit about how you've always kind of natively been creative.
Yes.
You play piano, you play flute. Can you talk a little bit about your creative endeavors from when you were younger?
It's been a journey. I'm always looking for something new to learn as far as like to gain more talent and skill in. We were always big on music at home. And then singing also came along later on. I would say poetry. It was more in the late 20s when I started writing poetry. And I'm always open to new things, to new ways of expression, I would say. And creativity is essential for me. It's like breathing air. You know, I have to remain constantly creative because that's what gives me, you know, the joy of life.
I've heard a lot of other like hyper creative types express it in the same way where it's, they have to get it out.
Yes.
Otherwise it feels like they're going to, something's wrong.
Yeah. it's an expression of what's going on inside and I love to share it with other people too. So poetry is a way that I can share some of my childhood memories or traumas or whatever it is with people. And then, singing is the same way, like just sharing feelings and emotions. So I think the ultimate goal for me is just to share what I'm feeling on the inside in a beautiful artistic way.
So given that you're doing web design, it is a intrinsically creative art.
Yes.
Do you find that how would I word this? Do you find that suffices your need to be creative, or do you still have to have other outlets as well?
Oh, I definitely have to have other outlets. This helps me. I think as far as work is concerned, having a job and being paid for something, I think it satisfies that because I have done work, like I said, with real estate where I just didn't feel the direct selling did not do it for me. It wasn't creative enough for me. So this is an outlet for me to be creative and do work, but I also have other creative outlets that I'm always constantly pursuing. And I don't think that's ever going to change.
Right. I think you may mention that you've had a little bit of poetry published.
Yes. Yes, I have a few poems that got published, and it's with the Sidekick Press here in town. And we're actually, they're coming out with a new book, basically in anthologies, I would have poetry published. So,
yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. So I have one, there's one coming out soon that's going to have one of my poems in it.
So you kind of answered one of the questions I was going to lead into was like, what kind of traits or mindsets does someone kind of need to have to be a web designer? Think artistry.
Creativity, I would say, as a whole.
Creativity.
Yes, creativity, always constantly looking for new ways to translate ideas and content. Also, I would say patience. It takes a lot of patience because you also have to sit in the chair and do work. Like you have to sit in front of a laptop and do that. And not a lot of people are capable of doing that. So there's going to be a long hours of sitting in front of a computer and trying to deal with technical stuff as well. So patience is huge. Creativity, patience, and detail oriented. There's a lot of small details that need to be, you have to pay attention to. And you have to be super organized in order to do that. Organized, time management, all these kind of skills.
Yeah, that time management discipline, like anyone who's in any field that is remotely independent.
Yes, that's exactly. Critical. As a freelancer in general, you have to have that skill. And of course, having knowledge in like business transactions, bookkeeping, that kind of stuff. So having the business side and the creative side and try to combine those two.
100%. Okay, so inversely, what kind of traits, qualities does a person have that should immediately disqualify them from web design?
Disqualify. I would say, honestly, I would say impatience, because if you're not willing to research things and solve problems, and you just can't get anywhere. You have to be able to have the flexibility to learn new things constantly, because it's not like you learn it and that's it, done. Every day, like I mentioned before in a different episode, every day I'm learning something new. I'm learning a new tool to use. I'm learning, you know, and having that grasp of concepts, of marketing concepts in general, but also doing the work and learning these skills on a daily basis, weekly basis, whatever it is. And so I would say patience is the biggest thing.
Okay, so let's say someone wants to become a web designer. They figured out that they kind of, like, they get WordPress. They like it. They don't understand it all, but they like it.
Okay.
What first steps should they take to refine their skills?
In WordPress specifically?
Sure. Yeah. Because that seems to be the industry standard for really competitive web design.
I would definitely, definitely do either an online workshop. I would buy a WordPress book and start looking at that. I would definitely want to educate myself more as to the ins and outs of how WordPress works and what I need to be using and, you know, all the tools, because there's so much there. It's a very extensive platform. And online, I would say you could go to wordpress.org. There's a lot of forums on there that you can kind of read up on and get more insight about how you can use the platform the best.
So wordpress.org, that's different from wordpress.com?
Yes. It's a forum. WordPress.org is a forum, and like if you have questions or if you run into problems, you can post it on there, and it's like a public forum where people can pitch in and offer solutions.
Right. So the regular troubleshooting, you should find your answers there.
You should. Yes. It takes time, but you should.
You know, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of those things when I first got into WordPress. It's like, there's two WordPresses. What's going on?
Yeah.
No, that's good to know though. Okay. So how about this? What are the must-have skills that someone should have if they're getting into web design?
Must-have skills, I would say you should have some design, some basic concept design skills, like knowing color and contrast and different, you know, how to format something, how to put something together from a visual standpoint. I would also, coding is huge. I mean, if you know code, it's great. Right now, most of the builders are, they don't need code, but I've always run into problems where I need a custom code being made or added to the site, because not everything can be resolved through plugins and stuff. So knowing code is very essential, or at least knowing how to read it and how to comprehend it. You don't have to write it from scratch, just knowing what you're looking at pretty much, because it's a different language.
And it is.
Yeah. Also, another skill would be, you know, some knowledge of UX, UI concepts as well, because you need to know the science behind of how things work and how customers come into the site. Where do they look first? You know, above the fold, you start from the left to the right. You know, these minor concepts of white space, like we just talked about. And so, yeah, some of the UX, UI experience that is essential to the site.
So we've talked a little, there's a better way to word this. I imagine that to the average person who's looking at this field of work, the most daunting part would probably be coding. Or at least that's my estimation.
Yeah.
Maybe that's because I've had to do a little bit of coding and it's a nightmare. I've learned more, but I feel like I know less than I did before.
Yes.
So when you're running into coding issues, how do you deal with that? Do you have someone who is a web developer and you converse with them, or do you have ChatGPT write up code for you?
So it depends on which code. So I'm I'm highly versed in CSS and HTML. So I can, if I put in a prompt in ChatGPT and they spit out a code, I know what I'm looking at and I know what I'm looking for. And I can test it in a safe way and I know what to do with it. So for me, I can actually also write CSS and HTML myself, but ChatGPT is a good shortcut, you know, a speedy process for me. However, like if I'm running into JavaScript and other, you know, other different softwares that or coding softwares that I need to work with, I would actually hire somebody. I would hire a web developer to tackle those bigger tasks, because you also can't mess too much with the internal coding, the hard coding of the site.
Yeah.
You don't want to, you know, make permanent damage to the site or the theme or the plugins or whatever it is. So I tend to hire somebody to work with.
So how did you learn the little bit of coding that you do with CSS and HTML?
I would say it was self-taught. A lot of it was self-taught. I started with HTML and then I absolutely had a passion for it. Mm. And I started just learning more and more, and I bought the books and I went through some of the online workshops that dealt with that. And then I got introduced to CSS, and also I was very passionate about it and I wanted to know how it works. And so it's self-taught. Yeah.
All right. Well, it can be done.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I think if you like that kind of stuff, it's, you know, it's easy to figure it out.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So how about this? What are some rookie mistakes you've seen people make, or maybe you made yourself, that you would caution people of when they're getting in the field?
Mistakes. I think we talked about this briefly before, having a very detailed proposal.
Mm.
Because that's one rookie mistake I made. I did not cover all the bases on my proposal, and I didn't have expiration dates on things. And I think it's very important when you're dealing with clients to be very clear, very concise, and have all the necessary information on there, because they're signing this document and they're legally bound to it.
Mm.
So you want to make sure that you protect your business that way. So that would be it for me. And of course, before you start working on a project, gauge the project and see how big and how long it's going to take you to do.
Mm.
And have an accurate idea, look at it as a whole project, and then figure out, is this something that I can actually do or not? Because sometimes it's happened to me where I've gotten into a project and it was way bigger than I thought it was going to be, and it ended up being too much. And so always take a step back and look at it and make sure that this is something you can accomplish.
That sounds like the kind of skill that you almost have to learn the hard way.
Yes. A lot of trial and error there.
We've had that in even recent projects up until just a few months ago, where we would take on jobs where we're producing like hundreds of videos and like social media content videos.
Yes.
We're like, yeah, you know what? We could get this done in 2 days. Yeah.
No.
It is amazing how quickly you can overwhelm yourself.
100%. And you know, and when you first start, you just don't want to say no to anybody. Mm. So you keep taking on these big projects and you just don't know what you're getting yourself into. So again, take a step back, take a breather. Like, can I tackle this? Can I handle this? If not, just say no. And then that's fine. And they can go somewhere else. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing worse than promising something and not delivering it. So I'd much prefer say no at the beginning than not deliver properly.
So how much does, and I think we actually already talked about this a little bit as well, but how significant is just knowing the right people in your field?
Oh, huge. It makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. One, for networking purposes. For example, I just, last year I completed a website for a recruiter and I did such a great job on his website. He was extremely happy with it that right now at this point, he just keeps referring people to me. Wow. And so he was, he's a recruiter for big companies. And so he knows people. Mm-hmm. So it's just attaching yourself to the people that already have a big network and that works the best for you. Right. And so, yeah, knowing the right people is very essential and nurturing those relationships and then making sure that those people are always happy with you and with your work. That's very important.
Mm-hmm. And that's been your primary form of marketing?
Referrals. Yes. Referrals. Word of mouth referrals.
Nah, like if it works, go for it. Right.
It's working great, especially in a small local community as Bellingham. And people tend to believe somebody else saying you should work with this person than reading something online about them or getting a quote on Fiverr.
It's a weird example, but I remember listening to an author because I was going through a writing course at the time.
Yeah.
And he made an interesting point. He was like, you want to know how I get you to like my characters? I have other characters say that they like those characters.
Oh.
And then you as the reader just go, oh, I guess this person is worth liking.
That's right.
And it's a simple trick. And then I realized that, oh, son of a gun, he's absolutely right.
Yep.
100%. That's how they keep getting me.
That's very true.
All right. Okay. How about this then? Entry-level roles for this field. Mm-hmm. If someone wants to become a web designer, but they want to build up those skills before they make the leap into maybe going independent, what jobs should they get first?
I would say anything in marketing.
Mm.
Anything in marketing. You can be an intern at a social media management company. You can be an intern at, or even get you can get an entry job at a digital marketing company, a digital agency. Anything that has to do with marketing, I think, will give you not all the skills, but some of the skills that are needed. You, of course, once you figure out your niche and what you exactly want to do, you will have to build those skills to match that. But get your foot in the door in any company that has the potential to teach you some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay. And what is one piece of advice that you would give to someone who's trying to get into the field?
I would just say begin. The key is just to start. Just start. There's so much to learn. There's so many different fields. And you will make those decisions once you get to them. But start. That's my advice.
Make the mistakes if you have to.
It's going to happen. You know, I can give you advice all day, but sometimes you're just going to have to go through it and have that make that mistake. But it's worth it because you're learning something new and it's motivating. And just keep going. Start and just keep going, moving forward.
And I think you need to have that if you're going to go independent, especially because inevitably things are just going to go wrong.
100%.
And you need to have that skin to say, hey, I've weathered this. I'm going to move on. I'm not going to kill myself over it.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. Everybody learns from their mistakes. And it's a normal part of growing as a business. Mm.
Can I put you on the spot and ask if you've ever made a mistake in designing a website that the client found out and it was just a whole hullabaloo?
Oh, boy. Yes, I remember I designed this website. And again, it was very early stages where I wasn't necessarily communicating as effectively as I should have been. And I remember having to, I messed up on the back end somewhere, crashed the site, and I had to redesign it all over again. I had to start from scratch. And granted, my client didn't complain too much about that, but it was the time that it took me to do that again. And it was just such a frustrating process because I lost everything. And so, yeah, learn from that mistake. So, and I didn't charge for the redo, which also hurt even more. But it's just one of those mistakes that you're like, you know what? I messed up. I'm just going to take accountability for it and just do it again. And it's on me because I didn't want to lose the client.
No, that's what you got to do.
I still have the client.
Oh, that's great.
Which is great.
That was probably pretty early on in the career.
Very early on. That was one of the first websites that I designed.
That's one of those things that I've noticed, especially with other small businesses, is that if you are really brand new,
yeah,
they kind of have some grace.
100%. It takes a lot of trial and error. Like I said, now I've got it going where it's like a machine. It goes. I know what to expect. I tell the clients what to expect. It runs pretty smoothly. I still run into stuff, but I always have time to resolve those issues. But at the beginning, you just don't know. You're just throwing yourself into projects and it's not always clear where you're going.
Yeah. And so much of it, like, it's such a silly adage, but it's true. But it's the whole mentality of fake it till you make it.
100%. Yes. Yes.
I remember we would have jobs get offered to us and they're like, hey, can you do this? It's like, I don't know. Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And you do end up figuring it out because you have to. Mm. The learning curve is so steep at the beginning. Mm. That's why I'm trying to say, if you can intern with a different company, somebody who's already doing this, that would also reinforce like your position as a, you know, freelance owner at the beginning, because you will have some skills and something to base your company on, besides just jumping into a new business. So any skills that you can have beforehand are going to be helpful to you.
And it's also just nice to be able to learn while also getting paid.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because if someone's going to ever dive into a completely new field, independent, that first year is going to be rough.
Expect it to be, and that's fine. And you're going to make mistakes. You're going to learn from them and you're going to move forward. But that's what it takes. You can't plan for it all.
No.
There's no way. So if you're going to be putting off your project because you're planning it so much, you're never going to do it. Mm. I would say just begin, start, and then you'll figure it out on the way.
I know an insurance agent, and he was telling me that when he started, he was with three other agents that were all being inducted at the same time.
Yeah.
And the one that always stood out to him was this one fellow who was brilliant. He was incredibly smart. He knew everything about the field. But the reason was because he spent like 6 months of every work year just studying like these giant insurance encyclopedias that they get.
Wow.
And so then he's only actually doing work for 6 months of the year. And he didn't make it 2 years into being an insurance agent because, he was too scared to make mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, then you have these other guys that are bumbling around, figuring things out the hard way. And you know what? They still stay in business.
Exactly. Yeah. You just have to start. You have to start because there's no way. You can't have all your ducks aligned before you jump into something. It's going to happen. You're going to make mistakes and it's fine. It's part of the business.
If you are waiting for the perfect opportunity, you might end up waiting a long time for nothing.
Very true. Mm. That's very true.
Okay. How about this then? Looking back, is there anything that you would have done differently when getting into this field?
I think I would have done a little bit more research on pricing because I feel like especially the first couple of years, I wasn't charging what I was supposed to charge. And I kind of missed out on that because I gave so much value back that I wasn't compensated for. So I would have researched that a little bit more, and I would have definitely researched proposals a little bit more, maybe try to, you know, the best form of, you know, imitation. What is it? The best form of flattery is imitation. And so it's okay to go and look at what other agencies are doing or what other web designers are doing and like having inspiration from that and taking into account some of the factors that especially experienced people like see what they're doing and not copying word for word, but taking, you know,
inspiration
from that. And then trying to think of all those things that they have thought of or because for me, it was more trial and error for everything. And so it would have been better, I think, to have maybe a mentor more specific into that and learning from that.
It's funny that you bring that up because a little while ago, we were expanding a little bit more into graphic design intentionally. So, and one of the resources I came up into is just like, don't be afraid to copy because copying is how you learn. You copy
Very
enough,
true.
Then you figure it out, and then you can make something original and new and novel. But until then, just do what works.
Just see what other people are doing that's working, and then there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
No, and you know what? For a lot of jobs out there, you don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Exactly. Yeah. Just find, again, go out there and find all the tools that work the best for you. Maybe the tools that I use are going to be different than for you or for another web designer. But it doesn't mean that I'm not open to trying new things. I pick my own tools and I pick my own strategy of doing things, and that's fine. And it's, you're always constantly learning from other people, what other people are doing. Recently, I had a website project, and the person who referred me is not a web designer, but he's in the digital marketing world. And he had asked to be CC'd on all of the emails that I was communicating with the person, the client. And I thought that was really refreshing. And it felt great to be able to, because I'm like, why not? I will share my process with you. And he found it refreshing to have this information, like, oh, this is how she's doing business. And so now he has an insight of how I do business with clients. He can actually talk about it to other people, and he can get inspired from it, maybe use some of these parts for his own business. So I think overall it helps everybody. Why not?
Oh yeah, the mentorship is huge. Just like taking someone under your wing. Did you ever have a mentor yourself?
I had different teachers at different stages, I would say, more teachers than mentors, but I am myself a mentor at Western for marketing students. I help guide, you know, especially as students that are interested in web design and stuff like that. So I think it's a great resource to have. It's great to be a mentor and also have a mentor, especially in career, in a long life career. You want to constantly check in, have that check-in point person, and you want to constantly make sure that you're on the right track, that you're doing the right things as a business owner.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's our time.
All right.
Nadia, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Cole.
Where can people find you?
You can go to resetwebdesign.com and you can send me a message there. And then I'd be more than happy to go and grab a cup of coffee with you.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us for another episode of The Businessman's Guide to Almost Everything. I hope that you've enjoyed this episode. And next time, we'll have a new set of guests all with us. So until then, take care and be well. That's it. Go away.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Get out of here. All right.